Dank, a Lord of the Rings fanfic by Claudia 603, read by Sophie Nisba. This fic is rated R and contains humiliation, imprisonment, male pregnancy, and mention of sexual assault. Summary: Frodo got more than he bargained for from consorting with rough men in Bree. Strider can help. Dank. Frodo scrunched up against the back of the cold cell wall, covering as much of himself as he could with his worn cloak. His furry toes peeked out, but there was nothing he could do about that. His cloak simply wasn't large enough. He bit his lip, shivering, trying to remember when last he had felt toasty warm. But he had to admit that it was almost a relief that the lawmen of Bree had finally caught him, delivering pipeweed to Bill Ferny and his wicked Dunlander friends. That is, it would be a relief if he didn't now feel so ill. He had shaken uncontrollably since the gruff guard had left him alone in the dark, with nothing to eat or drink. He thought that the shivering had been shock or fear or any number of things, but when he touched his forehead it felt warm, and his muscles ached like never before. And there were other problems that made even sitting still, even scrunched up in his back corner, nearly unbearable, problems so humiliating that he would never tell a healer. Blisters had formed on his bottom and in his groin area, and oh, how it burned when he relieved himself. And in recent days, before he had been arrested, when Bill Ferny's men had had their bit of fun with the halfling messenger, it had hurt more than ever before. Bill had taken to stuffing a filthy cloth in his mouth to keep him from screaming with the pain. Frodo came out of a doze, recognizing the deep voice of the guard. "Refusing all food and drink. Don't want him to die here. It don't look good and all. Not after the last one." A low voice, dangerous, answered him. "I am glad you brought me. He should not be here at all. If this hobbit has broken the law, he should be with his own people." He paused. "It smells rank in here. Does nobody clean in here?" Frodo tried to control a shudder and kept his eyes tightly shut. He did not want to meet such a dangerous and determined stranger. What would he think of a hobbit who had smuggled pipeweed and had given himself to filthy men? He studied the stranger through his mostly closed eyes. The man was dressed in green and brown, as if to disguise himself in the wild. A mask covered his face, but it did not hide his gleaming eyes, which rested on Frodo with such scrutiny that Frodo felt like a rabbit must when a hawk is circling above. Bilbo once told tales of rangers who protected the borders of the Shire from evil, and this man fit their description. Bilbo and his tales, Frodo thought, swallowing against the bitterness. Bilbo, who had left without checking his will for loopholes, and who had underestimated the ruthless cunning of the Sackville Bagginses. Frodo would pretend to be asleep, that was all. Perhaps the ranger and the guard would both go away and leave him in peace, although he longed for the courage to beg for a sip of water. The mug of water, brought just that morning, along with the usual slice of stale bread, sat at the front of the cell, near the bars, and it was too far a crawl when his body was racked with such aches and shivers. He had vomited 3 or 4 times, and he imagined that was the stench the ranger had noted. "Who is this hobbit?" the ranger asked. Long weapons hung from his waist, and his muddy boots looked as though they had spent decades tramping through every imaginable muck. "A Frodo Underhill, a Shire hobbit, not one of ours." "What did he do to earn jail time?" "Pipeweed smuggling, selling it and who knows what else to men for coins." He chuckled just a little. "I'm thinking this hobbit has had a lot of grubby hands on him, being so pretty and all. He was pretty bruised, at any rate. Not many of the halfling folk look like him. I'd be a little tempted myself if I weren't an honorable man." "I see." The ranger's voice grew cold. "Make sure your honor remains larger than your foolhardy tendencies, Arl." Frodo squeezed shut his eyes, especially when a strong hand gripped his shoulder and shook. "Wake up, Mr. Underhill." Frodo could see it would be useless to fool the ranger into thinking he was asleep. His eyes flew open, and he looked straight into gleaming gray eyes, and the panicky, breathtaking thought flew through his mind that this ranger could break his neck without thought. Frodo squeezed back against the wall, panting and covering his face with his cloak. "Hush, hush," the ranger kept his voice even, as he might to a wild animal. "I'm not going to hurt you. I am called Strider. I'm here to help you." "You weren't so afraid of men last I heard," Errol the guard said. Frodo had forgotten he was there, and his cheeks flamed with humiliation. Strider's voice was rough. "I will take it from here. I shall give you a call when I am finished." Frodo's heart beat wildly. Now he was alone with this ranger, who would do with him what he will, now that the guard was gone. Of course, had Strider wished to harm him, Errol would not have been able to stop him. Frodo, look at me. I must look you over. You're ill. Frodo slowly dropped his cloak. His eyes burned with fever, and his throat was parched, so parched. He had been thirsty for over a day now, but it had been far too much effort to crawl across the cell and to put the mug of water to his lips.
Why?
Frodo croaked.
Why?
I will not allow them to let another of your kind die in here. Hobbits do not thrive locked up in jail. It kills them as sure as a plague. I've told Breeze Mare before, if a hobbit breaks the law and earns jail, they might as well slit his throat and be done with it. He grew angry with me, but history does not lie. Not one hobbit has survived jail. Frodo looked for kindness in the stranger's eyes, but he saw only shaded gray.
Why do you care? Frodo managed at last. I am filthy and used.
He dropped his eyes, suddenly humiliated that this ranger should know. And then he suddenly realized that he could not have Strider examine him. Plenty of filth had been thrust into him in recent weeks. Each time Frodo had brought Bill Ferny what he was supposed to, there were always a couple men who wanted to taste halfling. The first time it had been forced. Frodo had cried out for help, but nobody had heard, as three men ripped his clothes off and had him on the floor. The floor had been filthy with mouse droppings, garbage, and, worst of all, Bill Ferny and his men did not always bother to leave their cottage when they relieved themselves, and the cottage stank of it. But they had given him a purse of coins, and it had been enough to buy himself two nights at Butterbur's Inn, so he did not have to sleep outdoors. After that, he had acquiesced, because he found if he did so, only one would take him, and it would be gentler, and he always got paid enough to have a place to lodge. At any rate, his clothes, which were all he had now, were less mussed and ripped. And at times, he was ashamed to admit, he found that he experienced little bursts of pleasure, or, he should say, little feelings of what it could be if he were doing such an act with one who cherished him. Strider unclasped Frodo's cloak. His fingers paused over the top button to Frodo's shirt when Frodo started to tremble. I give you my word, Frodo, that I will not harm you. Frodo closed his eyes, his cheeks burning. He tried to relax. Despite most of his experiences so far, he knew that men could be gentle and kind, and this man, with his steely eyes and voice that could send anyone fleeing for his life, was yet still kind. Oh, it would have been marvelous if he had first met someone like Strider. He felt his shirt gently pushed over his shoulders. He trembled from cold, from anticipation that this man should see him unclothed. Strider let out a furious gasp, and Frodo's eyes flew open. Strider stared at Frodo in black fury, and Frodo stared back at him, eyes impossibly huge with appeal, hoping, at least, that if Strider struck him, he would hold back some of his strength so that he did not break his jaw or nose.
"Who did this to you?" Strider demanded,
and now Frodo realized that he was staring in anger at the bruising on Frodo's upper arms and abdomen. Frodo looked down at himself, deeply ashamed. He had put himself in a position of taking coins in exchange for random punches and kicks to his belly when Bill Ferny was displeased with the quality of leaf, violent thrusting from men who had gone without for too long and yet held a healthy disdain for hobbits. He had endured being called names like Shire Rat and Vermin and having his foot hair pulled at in malicious teasing. A strong finger slid under Frodo's chin, forcing Frodo to meet the ranger's gaze.
Such a person, or people, I would gladly meet with my sword. You should not feel shame.
He then took off his long cloak and laid it on the dank cell floor.
Come, he whispered to Frodo, and helped him lie on his back on the cloak. Would that I had a little more light in here, but what little sunlight comes from that window will have to do for now.
Frodo felt a little better. However frightening, Strider spoke always in a gentle voice.
Please, Frodo begged as Strider unbuttoned his breeches. Please do not look there.
I must, Strider said. I will be gentle. Frodo thought he might die from humiliation if Strider were to see the crusted blood, bruising, and torn flesh on his bottom. Any sympathy for him that he harbored would take flight, and he would declare that Frodo deserved his fate for allowing himself to be used in such a way. Strider ignored him and gently pulled down Frodo's breeches. His strong hands felt up his hips and in his inner thighs. There they paused, feeling at the blisters that had developed there recently. Frodo's cheeks burned until he marveled that they didn't catch fire. How long have you had these blisters? Strider looked at Frodo with troubled concern.
Frodo shook his head. I do not know, he whispered. Strider released a sigh and continued. His hands again paused when they reached his bottom. As Frodo feared, he turned Frodo around so that he was lying on the cloak on his stomach, and Strider was kneading, prying, and poking at his sore bottom. Frodo stifled a cry, bit into his sleeve to keep from crying out each time Strider touched a bruise or sore. He said nothing, and he turned Frodo over once again so that he lay on his back. Frodo dared to look at him, but he looked impassive. His hand moved over Frodo's abdomen. His brow creased with what looked like worry or heavy concentration. He hummed something under his breath, and Frodo found himself soothed, despite the horror of having this ranger know his deepest shame. Large fingers slid over his slightly rounded abdomen, which Frodo still found mysterious, since he had hardly eaten in days. Finally, Strider met his eyes. Frodo, I want you to relax for just a moment. I'm going to do something you may find unpleasant. Frodo nodded, too mortified to respond or to ask questions. Spread your legs. Frodo glanced at him questioningly, and Strider nodded again. Frodo couldn't tell if the man was concealing anger at what had happened to him, or revulsion at the used hobbit he had already agreed to help. He was most likely regretting his decision now. Frodo obeyed, although spreading his legs caused his sore bottom a sudden burst of pain. Easy, Strider said. Easy. A hard, cold finger poked and prodded into Frodo, feeling around, while a heavy hand rested on Frodo's abdomen. Look at the ceiling and imagine the green hills of the Shire. Frodo closed his eyes instead. If he thought about the hills of the Shire, he would think about Bag End, and then a cry of pain and loss would burst from his lips. His grief came not so much because he had no home and no belongings to speak of now, but because everything from the one time in his life that had been good, the 10 years spent with Bilbo in Bag End, had been erased and gone forever. The Sackville Bagginses had given away or sold all of Bilbo's belongings, and had redecorated Bag End to suit their pleasure. Frodo wished he could think about food, but he feared if he did so he would vomit again, and this time it would be right in front of the stern ranger, who must already consider him the lowest of the low. Strider pressed Frodo's legs open further. I'm sorry if this hurts you. Frodo's heart began to speed up. Perhaps Strider was not here to help at all. Maybe he just wanted a taste of halfling, like all those men at Bill Ferny's. Perhaps he was doing it under the disguise of helping. With a sudden cry of rage, Frodo battered Strider with his fists, moving backward off the cloak, forcing Strider's finger out. Don't touch me! I know what you want! Frodo cried. Strider sat in stunned silence for only a moment before a mixture of pity and disappointment came over his face. Then he shook his head. No, no. You're all the same, Frodo said, breathing so fast he could hardly get the words out. You only take what you can with no care for the consequences. I was once a gentle hobbit of good name, and I have nothing now, nothing, not even my honor. And you come with kind words, but... Strider had moved toward him, and Frodo cried out, Stay away! Strider put his hands out, palms up. He was on his knees. Frodo, it is all right. I promise you I have no intentions other than to help you. And you need a healer. I will talk to the mayor about releasing you into my care. You will not be free to go as you will, because you have committed a crime in the village of Bree, but I will make certain you have the best care. I'd rather die here in jail than become what you would want from me, Frodo said, narrowing his eyes as he pictured night after night of groping hands and that awful, burning, thrusting pain, because all men wanted to feel the tightness of a halfling. Gentleness was in none of their natures. At least here in jail he was most likely safe. For now, the guard did seem to have honor left in him, and he had not tried to touch him. Frodo, Strider's voice became stern. Frodo, you have a serious disease that will kill you if you do not have treatment for it. And there's something else, he swallowed. I do not know how to say this. Frodo looked at him in puzzlement. Mostly, the hobbits of Bree keep to their own, and the men of Bree mind their own affairs. That arrangement has always worked splendidly in Bree, with little problem, but occasionally. And then Strider actually smiled just a little, which piqued Frodo's curiosity. A hobbit has found comfort with a man. When it is a hobbit lass, childbirth is risky, even under the best circumstances, even with a hobbit lass who is healthy and young. But when it is a male hobbit, it has been known to change nature altogether. What do you mean? Frodo asked, too curious now to be afraid of Strider. A male hobbit. There have been male hobbits here in Bree who have found themselves with child. Frodo laughed a little, but stopped when he saw that Strider was not laughing. You are snaring me in a falsehood. This is not possible. No, Strider said. It is true, for I have treated several of them in secret. Their families were mortified, and they did not wish the local healer even to catch wind of it. Mostly, the babies did not make it to term and did not survive. In some cases, the hobbits have not survived. Only one child has survived and is still healthy. His name is Robin, and he lives with Tommy and Bart, a hobbit and man of Bree who live together. Frodo's cheeks burned. I don't understand how this is possible. Frodo, you are with child. Frodo's cheeks burned furiously, and a black haze fell before his eyes. Either Strider was the most wicked man alive, who had nothing better to do than to torture downtrodden hobbits, or... Frodo gasped for breath. No, no! You need proper care. Please allow me to take you somewhere where you can receive it. Frodo's belly was quite rounded now, and he actually smiled as he patted it. The mare had been willing to release Frodo under the condition that he was under the care of the ranger. To him, that was a fate far worse than staying in jail, and it had the added benefit of getting to wash his hands of responsibility if the sick halfling perished. Although Frodo was not allowed to leave the lodge on the edge of Bree, Strider was kind to him. He spoke always in a low, soothing voice. He smiled, and he never forced his hands or mouth on him. In fact, he showed no interest at all in him, aside from caring for his health. Come now, Frodo. Hop on up on the bed. I must see if any of those blisters have gone down at all. Must you? Frodo murmured in contentment. He was curled in the armchair in front of the fire. For once I am feeling awfully peaceful. I've not been sick at all today. Have you felt movement at all? Yes, Frodo said with a soft smile. Quite a bit as of late. He, or she, is quite active. I must still check on that other matter. I am glad that the bruising has faded down there. Frodo's smile faded. He could never fully rid his memory of Bill Ferny and his rough hands. I am sorry, Strider said, his eyes filled with pity. I should not remind you of that. It is nothing. Frodo turned his head away, but he obeyed Strider and climbed onto the narrow, cot-like bed. No, Strider said, fastening something to one of the bedposts. It looked like a horse stirrup, and that was certainly odd indeed. It is not nothing, he said roughly. And I have no qualms of guilt for what I did to that snake's nest. He fastened what looked like another horse stirrup to the other side. Frodo clenched his hands together, trying not to think. He could still feel Bill Ferny's hot air on his neck, his tongue licking his ear, the searing, ripping pain that filled his bottom as he forced his way in. Strider gently helped Frodo tug his breeches down. While Strider seemed not to feel anything toward him other than pity and the desire to heal, Frodo's cheeks burned. He stared at the ceiling, unable to look into Strider's eyes while he could see so much of Frodo. All right now, I want you to scoot down, all the way down. Frodo frowned, puzzled, but he obeyed. When he scooted down the bed as far as Strider wanted, Strider took one of his feet in hand and slid it into the first stirrup. What are you doing? Frodo asked in alarm. You'll not much like this, I'm afraid, Strider said, but this will make it easier for me to do a lengthy exam, and I must see if all is well with the babe. I do not think it will be long now for you. You are nearly as large as a lady nearly ready to birth is. But the babe cannot survive if he is born now, Frodo said. Strider was quiet for a moment, and Frodo wondered if he was deliberately ignoring the comment, which angered him. Then he sighed. We shall see, he finally said. Do not fear. He took Frodo's other foot and placed it in the second stirrup. Frodo's thighs felt stretched, and his skin was chilled and vulnerable. The Strider was looking at him, naked and exposed. Frodo's cheeks burned. Why must you do this? He murmured. Surely you can look up there just fine without this contraption. Strider laughed a little. He poked around Frodo's bottom, probing at the delicate skin surrounding it. The blisters are much better. Do they pain you at all? Not as much as they did before, Frodo said. Will they harm the baby? That is my concern, Strider said. That is why I hope this salve I am using on them will make them go away before your time comes. though they may never fully go away. How did it happen? Is it because of... Frodo gestured at his belly. Still, he could not seem to look at Strider in the eyes. Just talking about his condition led him to stuttering and mumbling and blushing so hard he felt his face might catch fire. Frodo, Strider said. Frodo, look at me. Frodo forced himself to meet Strider's gaze. Was Bill Ferny the only one? Frodo realized just what Strider was asking, and he felt like he had been punched hard. His humiliation was complete. He closed his eyes, wishing that the bed would open up and dump him deep inside a cavern far, far away from this room. No, Frodo whispered. He waited to see the disgust on Strider's face, but it never came. He looked as impassive as he always did. Those men were filthy, Strider said, and whatever they had, they gave it to you. He smiled, not giving Frodo a chance to simmer in new humiliation. Judging from your size now, I would say you have another month or so to go. Frodo's heart sped. But what will happen? Will it be like a woman, with pain and... There will certainly be pain, yes. Strider took a metal object, and it gleamed like a freshly polished sword. What are you doing with that? Frodo asked, trying to pull his feet out of the stirrups. Strider grabbed his feet and held them still. Do not fear. Strider smiled just a little, but Frodo cried out as cold metal entered him, widening him until he did not think he could be widened further. It was nearly like when Bill Ferny and his friends had first taken him, only without the thrusting pain. He gasped while Strider's hand groped inside. The baby lives, Strider said with a smile, pulling out the metal object. I could have told you that, Frodo snapped. Everything looks all right. Strider helped Frodo out of the stirrups. Frodo held his rounded belly a moment before wriggling back into his breeches. Strider tucked a thick blanket over him. Rest now, for a time. Frodo felt a gentle kick, and he knew all was well. The end.